And Prisoner's been around in theory since I was about 18, so I'm 24 now, so about 2017, 2018. And we originally formed in London, Ontario, where I was going to production school, and we had a lineup where we were playing shows in wedding venues and house shows and things like that, doing your typical, you know, high school, university band stuff. And then when I finished production school, I moved back to Calgary, and from there I ended up moving to California, living in L.A. for 2 years and going through rotating band members, things like that, and really just kind of refining our sound and figuring out what I wanted to do in the industry and with the project of Prisoner itself, and then moved back to Calgary in 2023 and got the full lineup that we currently have now together. We re-released the first record that we have out, and then we put out an EP earlier this year in the summer, and then we just put out two singles, one being our own song, and then another one being a cover of Black Sabbath's Children of the Grave, which came out early this October. And right now we're in the studio writing and recording our next record to be out sometime, hopefully in the middle of next year.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's awesome, I would say, especially that you were able to, you know, put the band together, you know, like the Who would sing, you know, in a different city. So that's, was that, you know, to, yeah, how was that? How was that experience?
It was very interesting in the sense that, you know, when I was living in Ontario, I got to be really integrated into that scene, and I thought I was going to end up staying there. And then just with the way life is going with everybody, with, you know, just people growing up, you know, you change so much from year to year, from, you know, 17 to your late 20s. It was something that worked at first and then just wasn't working. And, you know, just becoming an adult at that time was very interesting. So then moving back to Calgary, it was like, well, what do I do with what I've got with my education and, you know, starting a studio and this and that. So I moved down to California to not necessarily root myself there, but understand why that place was such a powerhouse for what it was through the late 60s to, you know, the early 2000s in varying genres of music. And I got to work with some really amazing people, and I made some really great friends, and I was doing some really cool stuff in studios and things. But ultimately, just with how expensive everything was, I moved back to Calgary and took the knowledge that I've gained from being in some of the most major cities for music, and being like Toronto and Los Angeles, and I spent time in New York and Nashville and all those things. Coming back to Calgary, I was able to take the knowledge that I'd gained and set up shop and build a full-on recording studio. So that's what I do full-time. And then now the band is solely based here. And I think it set us up to be successful within the industry, because my entire life is based around music, and all of those interpersonal relationships that I've gained with not only my bandmates and close personal friends, but the people that work with me in the industry.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's definitely a great experience for, yeah, and also, you know, to be able to actually work on, anyway, it's kind of a
100%.
It's kind of a dream job, if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so another question that I usually ask is, so the name of the band, like why Prisoner? How did it come upon? What, you know, is there a special meaning other than obviously, you know, the actual meaning of the word?
Right. Yeah, well, the band name stems from one of our songs that we put out called Prisoner of Time. And, you know, to me, everybody is a prisoner of something, whether that's time itself or your geographical location, like who you are physically. You know, there's so many things that are limitations to people, whether we see them or not. And I think music is one of the reasons why people can get through so many things in life. And it's a universal language. And it's kind of a juxtaposition in the sense that, you know, we don't actually have a limitation to what we can enjoy musically. Yet the idea in the name of Prisoner is obviously alluding to the fact that you're restrained in some way, shape, or form. And the fact that it's three syllables, it's chantable, and then the way that I design the artwork and logos and stuff is it kind of creates a shape around the artwork and all that fun stuff. But to me, that's where the name came from. And then we have the tally mark logo and stuff, which is, you know, to count time. It's a prison marking on walls and things like that. So you can identify the band without even seeing the name or our character.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's important in, I guess, yeah, when trying to reach out to the masses for you to be, you know, easily identified, even without, yeah, listening to you or, yeah, I hear you. That's pretty cool. That's
Thank
pretty
you.
cool. And yes, we are definitely, you know, prisoners of something, man. I mean, we're trying to, you know, since when have we been trying to, you know, I want to break free. I can get no satisfaction. Like, you know,
Absolutely. You
this
look
is
at
about
music
50
throughout
years.
history. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right. So, in terms of the composition, is there somebody that does, for instance, lyrics exclusively, or is that also like a joint venture? How does that work for Prisoner?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first, I guess everything that we have out now, excluding the two singles, was kind of different because when the first, all the music that's out right now was written while I was still a teenager. Like I was 15 to 18 doing, like writing this music, and I started playing guitar at 15. So it was still very much like you can hear it in the playing and like what I'm doing comparative to what we're working on now. It was very much adolescence. And I did pretty much everything myself. Like I had a drummer at the time of the first record. So he played drums, but then I played all the bass, all the guitar, and then I sang on it. And something very similar to the EP because I was putting it together with these guys in the band, and they contributed a lot in the writing process and making the songs their own as well. But it was very much just me pushing this project. But now, moving forward with these guys where we are an established group of people, it's very much collaborative in every way, shape, and form where, you know, I'll come up with a riff idea or a bass player will come up with a line or a drummer has just this idea of like a groove that he's like, this would be kind of cool to this riff. And it is usually a very organic process. Lyrically, I tend to write almost all of the lyrics just because I'm the one that's singing them. And, you know, for me, I want to make sure that I can identify with what I'm talking about. And there's themes in terms of what we're talking about musically, and for me it's always talking about things in a way that has a little bit more depth than just exactly what you're saying. And because I think music is just like any art form supposed to be subjective, so if you pull something from it that relates to your personal life that isn't inherently what it meant to me, I think that's a good thing, and I don't think it's necessarily wrong. So, you know, I write things about books or life experiences, interpersonal relationships, just life in general. But it's great because now I have guys in the band that see what I'm trying to write and talk about, and they can pull from their personal experiences, and we can just talk about it, and even conversations have become songs.
There you go. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the one of the great things I like about music is that subjectivity and how, you know, a lot of people or everybody can feel a lot of or completely different things just listening to the same song. So it's that's really a nice thing I like about music. Okay, let's take another musical break and we'll be right back here at the Metal Meltdown.
Control, drag you down a darker path, close your mind and meet their wrath. Oh,
Welcome to the Metal Meltdown. I am your host, El Dr. Misterio. And of course, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live and in Technicolor from unceded Coast Salish territory in Burnaby, British Columbia, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. Remember that you can listen to us online at cjsf.ca. You can also listen to us through the new app for Android or iOS. And, of course, you can find all the podcasts created for and by mankind at cjsf.ca/contents/metal-meltdown. We just listened to Bear McCready. They are from Florida in the United States. And we listened to the song The Last Ballad of Damrod, which features Jens Kidman. And this is their latest single. Before that, we listened to Infrared. They are from Ottawa here in Canada. And we listened to the song Demon's Blood, which is part of their brand new album Manifestation. And we started the set with our guest tonight, Prisoner, from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And we listened to Skies Are Blackened, which is part of their House of Cards single release. It's like a mini EP, if you wish. So it has a couple of songs. So anyway, one of them is Skies Are Blackened. And let's continue our chat with Murray. So a little bit about the themes you were referring to. Did the albums themselves, like the two separate ones, did they have like a theme to themselves or not necessarily? Or
In terms of artwork and things, absolutely. Musically, not really. Like the first record, it was just songs that I was writing, trying to figure out who I wanted to be as a musician and a guitar player. And I think, you know, if you listen to Prisoner's discography, there's so much variation in terms of subgenre. Like, we've got punk rock sounding songs, we've got more speed metal songs, thrash, traditional heavy metal stuff. Like, we put out a three-song EP with a thrash metal song, a rock song, and a ballad. So on paper, it sounds absolutely ridiculous. But when you go and listen to the music, it all fits under the scope of what this band is and what we want it to be, because it's like, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, but we also want to do something that is fresh and new, and it is us. And that's where, you know, I think we get conversations with people that are like, oh, you sound like Nirvana. And then 2 days later, someone else goes, oh, you sound like Iron Maiden and Motley Crue. And if you know anything about those three bands, they are very inherently different.
Correct.
So the fact that we're being associated with people's favorite idea of what a rock band is, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, it's one thing to have like a style and a presence, but yeah, it's nothing wrong with, you know, having a little mix of this and that on every album. I'm happy with that. I agree with you on that one.
Perfect.
Yes. No, I hear yes. I mean, you know, a lot of bands do that, and you know, it doesn't. It's just, you know, I think it shows to some extent how you can, you know, expand your horizons, you know, as a band, if you wish to be able to play, you know, other genres or whatever. Like, I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And I think too, especially because most of the stuff that we put out was just me. Now, having a whole group of people, I have a whole nother group of influences and ideas and what people are doing. And I think all it's going to do is elevate what we do, because we are such close friends. When you get into the intimacy of making music together, it's only going to get better and expand. And we're always, you know, as a musician, you never master your instrument. There's always something you could be doing or practicing or getting better at. And I think as long as when we're putting out music, you're seeing that development for us as musicians, as a band, as human beings, that's what's going to keep people interested in following what we do, because I think there's a level of authenticity behind all of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and you can, you know, I mean, obviously you can see, you know, the synergy when you're watching your shows live, but even on, you know, I would argue that even on the albums, or, yeah, recordings, like you can also feel that synergy.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Have you had a chance to, tour or promote the last EP? Have you had any?
So we did a little bit of promotion with that, in the sense that we were working with John Asher from Asher Media Productions and getting out there and on the radio.
No, just kidding. Sorry to hear that. Yeah, that you're with John.
Oh man, no, John's a great guy. He's done nothing but good for us, and you know, it's really great to have had the opportunity to work with him.
He's awesome.
But, yeah.
He always listens to these things, and or I tell him in person, and yeah, he just laughs. He's a wonderful human being.
Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, when you get into where we're at in terms of the music scene and not necessarily being on that upper echelon with some of these bands that are making tons of money and on major labels and things, a large part of what we do comes from passion and excitement for music. And, you know, for me, on the outside looking in at someone like John, the fact that he's done so much for so many bands, does such great things for the music community in Canada, it's pretty unparalleled to even try to compare, you know, with anyone or anything else. I think he's great, and what he's done for us in the music scene and for heavy music or just generalized rock music, it's awesome. So,
absolutely. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, or, you know, I haven't changed the conversation a little bit, but, you know, I'm a little of a joker myself, so anyway, I had to let it out and, you know, let it happen again.
Absolutely. You gotta laugh every day, preferably at someone else's expense.
Excellent choice of words, preferably. Not necessarily, but preferably, yes.
Exactly.
Excuse me. So you were saying you were saying, I don't know if you were trying to say that you got to do some gigs or not, or it was mainly like promotion. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you there.
Oh yeah, it's all good. But so we've done a decent amount of promotion, and then we played a lot throughout Alberta. The biggest thing is that we put the band, this iteration of the band, together in such a short period of time. We were kind of like, we didn't really have a plan post releasing the music. We're like, we just have to get more stuff out for people to listen to, start playing locally, get expanded out to Edmonton and Lethbridge and all of the surrounding towns and cities. But with the success that has gone on with this EP and the singles that we've put out, the goal now is basically, once this record comes out, to have a full length record to try to tour on and get out to Vancouver, and then all the way out east to, you know, Montreal and Ottawa and stuff like that, and as well as take advantage of some of the friendships and opportunities that I made when I was down in California and try to get down to the States through the West Coast and things like that. So I think the next year for the band is going to be pretty big.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. So for the I'm curious for the cover. So it's like a twofold question. Like, one, how did you decide, you know, collectively to do that particular song? Because I'm assuming you have probably a lot of, you know, great songs that you love. So that's mm-hmm. one. And then two is like, how you know, how was it? How did you feel? Or I guess, how did the band feel? I don't know if they share, you know, feelings with you about, you know, recording a song from your, you know, one of your idols. Like, anyway, curious about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the artwork for Children of the Grave, it was, for us, all of our artwork, we believe that there needs to be a level of authenticity. So all of the artwork that you've seen from the band, besides the two singles that have come out, so Cover Me and Children of the Grave, those were photographs. Everything else has been hand-painted by one of my friends, and who's a brilliant artist, and then we take a photo of it and digitize it, because I believe that there is a level of authenticity behind that, and people will resonate with that idea, because in a world of good enough AI-generated stuff, it's really cool, and you get some really interesting stuff, but it just doesn't have the same feeling and resonance. And with the scale that goes on with what we're doing in terms of albums, we have a character, and his name is Davey, and his name comes from the fact that I had a twin brother who didn't make it out of the womb with me, so that's where his name came from. His name was supposed to be David. And this character is supposed to be kind of our mascot in relation to, like, Eddie from Iron Maiden, or Rattlehead, or the War Pig from Motorhead. And this character is, in a way, to create a visualization to connect to the music, and each record's going to have its own kind of color theme. But if you were to put every album down from the first four records, you'd be able to see the entire development of this character from the first record, where he's in a birdcage, and that a birdcage is a symbolism of, like, mind control, for example, and you don't really see his features. But then on the EP for House of Cards, you get to see him up close and personal and understand that he has human-like features, but he's magical in some sort of way. And the single artwork for Skies Are Blackened, that's, you can see the outside of the tower that he's in, so there's, like, a setting to that. So when we were putting out the singles, we're like, we need to do something that's just as authentic, so we just took photographs. So the Cover Me artwork is just my back with the band jacket on, and then Children of the Grave. We made, like, custom, like, tombstones and stuff, and got a backdrop and fog machines that we use for live shows and lights and stuff, and took pictures for that. So to us, I think there's just a level of, like I say, I continue to say authenticity, but I think that's really what it is. Because when people are interested and get devoted to things like music and art and the people that create them, I don't ever want to look back on it and be like, I was lazy and I took the easy, quick way out just because it needed to be done, so that when people look at what we do, they truly see and believe that we care about everything that we put out.
No, that's pretty, that sounds pretty, yeah, powerful, let me tell you.
Thank you.
And yes, to build up that character, you know, Davey, and then, like, in the, you know, in the back, quote unquote, in the back scenes or background, it's that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's a great, I guess, endeavor, I will call it. So where can people find your music, merchandise, everything about the band?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us on all major streaming platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, all that good stuff. You can check out our website at prisonerband.ca. That's where all of our merchandise is. We just dropped a bunch of new patches and things like that, as well as on our Instagram at prisonerbandofficial and Facebook and things like that. So
cool. Yes, the usual suspects, but yeah, please go and visit